going into the technical but elementary discussion of this limit, I just want to say a few words, maybe 10 minutes, to put this calculation in a context. Yes. And convince you that there is something interesting. So the general idea is, philosophy is that there are many important examples of connection between supersymmetric gauge theories and integrable models. So certainly both subjects are rich by themselves, and I think it's certainly true that this connection enriches our understanding of both sides. In particular, today we'll kind of say that the right side benefits from the connection to the left-hand side. And the main example of this correspondence that I will call star is the connection between n equal to 2 supersymmetric gauge theories in D equal 4. And classical so-called algebraic integrable models. So on the right-hand side, there is integrable models are analog of integrable models in the sense of Liouville, so from 19th century. On the what is this connect? What is the main object that make this connection possible? Well, at low energy, n equal to supersymmetric gauge theories are their dynamics at low energy is captured by a single function called the superpotential. Where A belongs to the Cartan subalgebra of the Lie algebra of the gauge group. And the statement is that this function can be obtained by studying an auxiliary problem, which is a classical integrable system. Just to have something in mind, which is actually will be the main character of the talk, is the kind of the most basic supersymmetric gauge theory, where gauge group is SUN, and we have only super young Mills. No extra matter, and this via this link correspond to classical Toda chain, so-called, that's the name, of length n, so the length is translated to the rank, and just to give, I have something in mind, I just write Hamiltonian, which is so momentum okay. Good. Okay, so as most of you might know, is there was a number of a natural question arises was to calculate f of a from direct path integral calculations. And what happened is quite remarkable, and is that trying to understand this object from path integral calculation actually produced a much richer object, partition function, much richer in the sense that depends is a two-parameter generalization of this object. And okay, the meaning of epsilon, epsilon two, the meaning is a two parameter family of Lorentz rotation. But maybe it's instructive to just say quickly why to introduce them, and the reason is to kind of as a regulator of the integration over moduli space of instanton. And as I just said, this object actually was crucial in understanding in progress in theoretical physics in the last, say, 10 years or a bit more. And the way it is connected to the superpotential is that if you take the logarithm, multiply by epsilon 1, epsilon 2, and take the limit, we recover f. Okay. So in 2009, Nekrasov and Shatashvili proposed a quantum version of star, of that correspondence. And the idea is relatively simple. You just, instead of taking both epsilon 1, epsilon 2 to 0, you just consider the limit of, say, one of the two parameters to 0. And define in this way some function. OK, first of all, you claim that this limit exists. Just give it a name, twisted superpotential. And in which sense this is a quantum version of star? In the following sense, that if you interpret, sorry, epsilon 1. For some reason I prefer. Interpreting epsilon 1 as the Planck constant, the quantum version of that correspondence consists of two parts. First, the eigenstate of the quantum integrable system are solution of the following quantization condition. So this is part one of the statement. And part two of the statement, which actually will be the main subject of this talk, is that if you write this Nekrasov partition function as three-level part, one loop, an instanton part, the part of the part of the twisted superpotential corresponding to the instanton part satisfied TBA equation. So this part two, this will be the main goal of the talk. But before going to this, I want just to give some kind of motivating and simplified example of the quantum version of the corresponding stars. And so the simplified version is, again, pointed out by Nekrasov and Shatashvili more a bit earlier than that one. And there's a connection between two-dimensional gauge theories with four supercharges. And quantum integrable models. But somewhat of a different class. So that's, I would like to stress a lot this part, which on the right hand side here, there is quantum integrable models that are quite different from the one appearing here, which are, the, for example, the quantization of Toda. In this case, is what we may call compact. People use compact quantum integrable models, but if you wish, you can just think about, in brief, it's just a finite dimensional space of state, finite dimensional Hilbert space. Okay, so why I say that this is a simplified, is kind of simpler than that version? Well, the spectrum of these models is encoded in a set of algebraic equations called beta equations. And let me just be explicit for an example. maybe the most popular example ever of an integrable spin chain is the XXX Heisenberg chain. Well, there are various parameters in this chain. Well, first is a chain, so there is the length of the chain. For each side of the chain, we can choose spin. By spin, I mean representation, finite dimensional representation of SL2. So SA, so let's say positive alpha integer. Something called an inhomogeneity parameter complex, and we may fix the gain value of the spin on the z direction, for example, to be sum of SA minus m. Well, the statement of integrability is that eigenstate of the Hamiltonian corresponding to this model are a one-to-one correspondent with solution of this system of equation. So these are m equation. Q is called twist parameter. So is a fact which is not obvious, but it's true, is that this equation have a potential. So there exists some function W such that this equation can be rewritten as exp of the W in the sigma, let's call them lambda. And why this name W Tweedle? Well, the name comes from, because this is the twisted superpotential for some two-dimensional gauge theory with four supercharges. In this example, popular example, the gauge group is UM. And then there is some extra matter with L fundamental with twisted masses MAF. L antifundamental with twisted masses MF bar A and one adjoint. And the parameters here are identified with parameter there roughly as follows. Anyways. If we set a scale, if we fix to measure things in the scale of a joint masses. Okay, so now what happens here, we know explicitly W Tweedle comes from a very simple calculation in gauge theory, is actually one loop exact. You can try to guess what is it, but or look in the papers. In the case we have, actually W is a much more complicated function. And as we will see, it's characterized by TBA equation. So for this part, I'm done, and I'm going to some relatively detailed derivation of the TBA for this W instanton. If there is any question, of course there was no real explanation, but just have a picture. Okay, so main example. Pure is n equal to 2 super young mills gauge group SUN. Okay, so the main object of study is the instanton partition function, which can be written as a sum. Parameter Q, which plays the role of instanton counting parameter. Well, these parameters epsilon is epsilon 1 plus epsilon 2. And then we have a k-folded integral. I spent some time in writing because this will, yeah. Okay, so first of all, what are the parameters here? What will be the integral? What will depend on? So it will depend on epsilon, epsilon 2, of course, on Q. And on the Coulomb parameters of SUN, where are they sitting? Well, we just construct a polynomial which package together the Coulomb parameters. Out of this polynomial, we construct the function Q appearing there as follows. And the function d takes the following form. Finally, phi ij is the difference. Okay, so please try to keep stress is that. The Coulomb parameter enter the function Q. Okay, now a couple of remarks about this expression. So first of all, we have to specify the contour of integration in principle. And there are two ways to think about it. So one way is just to give an I-epsilon prescription for epsilon. So we just say that epsilon are a real are something real plus I zero. And the same for the Coulomb parameter, real part plus I zero. And then integration is just integration over real axis. Or equivalently, we can just close the contour on the apparent plane and think about it as a contour integral. Either way, I don't know. I think this is the less popular form of the instant partition function. More popular is the expression as a sum of Young tableau, or actually our n-tuple of Young tableau. This other expression can be obtained just observing that residues of these relevant residues of this integrand are labeled by n-tuple of tableau. It's a simple exercise that I will not do here, but if somebody's interested, it's nice and clean. Also, I will not discuss in detail, in any details, the origin of this formula, but I would like to mention that the form is tightly connected to the description of instanton moduli space as ADHM told us. So as some kind of solution to quadratic equation divided by a group action. Okay. So let me also introduce some definition because I will move the blackboard and I will not able to write anymore. So. Okay, so goal now is to describe this function when epsilon 2 is small and understand that limit there. If you would do it naively, you would just observe that d of x, if epsilon 2 goes to 0, this function goes to 1, right? This goes to 0, this goes to 1, so this goes to epsilon. The sum, so this goes to 1. Okay. Of course, this is wrong, as we are integrating over these phis, and the approximating d of x by 1 is wrong in certain region of the domain of integration. Okay, so as suggested here, but what can we notice here? We can notice that this part of the interaction is 1 almost everywhere for any x. X real, except for x of order epsilon 2, in a region, say, of size epsilon 2. For the second part, also this function is 1 almost everywhere, except where x is close to plus minus epsilon 1. And in that case, we have a pole with residue proportional to epsilon 2. Okay. So, good. So just to start understanding, so to understand the limit of epsilon to 0 of that function, it's convenient to study two simplified situations first. So we study first Z, as we call long, where we set D up there only to be, can you read? Yeah. Maybe not. Can you read the top bottom? Okay. To D long only, and similarly short, only short part. So well, let's start with Z long. To study this object, I will describe first what is meant by Meyer expansion, finally. So imagine that you have some partition function that has the structure above. So it's some multiple integral with some measure that depends on single variable, and then some interaction that suggestively we rewrite as, so we rewrite the interaction in this way. Now it's clear that we can expand this function as one, as monomials in F, yes, and so forth. And there is a one-to-one correspondence between monomials here and graphs on the set of particles. Let's just make an example here. So we identify the one with the empty graph. Sorry. For example, let's make a quick example. K, number of if there is no particle, we have just the empty graph. If there is one particle, we have the graph with one vertex but no edges. For k equal 2, you have two particles, and we can have either the graph with no edges or the graph with one edge. K equal 3, graph with no edges, graph is with one edges in the three ways. And this other graph, and so on. It's clear that loops of this form and multiple edges are not allowed by the definition. Is this part clear? I think it's very elementary. So if you have a graph, you write down a monomial, just you write an F for each link of the graph. Okay. So when you take the logarithm of the partition function, happens something quite familiar, Feynman diagrams or kind of a combinatorial fact related to the definition of exponential, which is that if you take the logarithm of z, what happens is that you have the same object, but the interaction part is just the sum over graph on the particle k, but this time only connected graphs are singled out by the logarithm. And then you take the product over the edges in the graph of this function here. Okay. So if you wish, this is the statement zero of Meyer expansion. Now let us apply this is an exact expansion, at least as a formal series in Q. So order by order in Q, you can show that this is correct. Now let us apply this thing to our partition function there, actually for to Z long only. Okay. So you can just compare f with the function d long defined upstairs and find that fij is equal to epsilon 2 g of some function of ij plus order epsilon 2 square, where this function is then the x log of phi plus epsilon 1 phi minus epsilon 1. Sorry. Yeah. So if you study the epsilon 2 to 0 limit of z long, it's clear that as each propagator carry a factor of epsilon 2, the limit of epsilon 2 to 0 will single out three graphs here, that by definition are the graphs with minimal number of edges. Okay? And that number is equal to, if you have k vertices, you want to be connected, and three, you will have k minus 1 edges, so k minus 1 power of epsilon 2. Okay, is this clear? This should, yes? Good, so, DD phi, you're right. Yes. Okay, the definition, of course, is, yes, is 1 plus f ij is equal to this d long. Yes, yes, sorry. It was very important. I didn't really explain so much. So, is it related to long range and short range? So, the epsilon 2 is much, there are two scales here, epsilon 1, epsilon 2, and epsilon 2 is much smaller. So, it's setting a short, the short scale is set by epsilon 2, the long range is set by epsilon 1. And D short is is just short range interaction. Yeah, because it goes to 1. Yeah, I would call it I would call this a gas of particles, just an idea, yes. And just the interaction between particles in this gas. Okay. Yeah, this is some kind of boring. Actually, I would say that this part is relatively boring. And what is more interesting is the effect, the effect of the study of the short range interactions. Okay. So the main result here that I will explain a bit is that is the following. So we can rewrite as a one single the short, the limit of epsilon 2 to 0 of z short as a single integral of the following form. So this is simple, but I think beautiful result. Yes. So there is a way to get this result just by calculating z short by residues. But okay, it's relatively tedious and not so illuminating. I will actually use a method which is called, is a fun method called, I don't know if any of you have ever heard about it, and it's called expansion by region. And is answering a very natural question, which is, I have an integral and I want to calculate it when some parameter is small. Of course, this is the kind of standard situation in Feynman diagram, where, for example, you have some large mass and small momenta and so on, and you want to get possibly an asymptotic expansion of the Feynman integral. Here, of course, you apply it in a slightly different context, but let me just outline the idea. It's like a recipe to obtain an integral. Calculate an integral. So the first step, you divide the integration domain in regions. And in each region, expand, Taylor expand in each region. Of course, in the parameters that are small in that region. Next, you do something a bit funny. You extend the integration domain to the full region. And finally, you set to zero scaleless integral. course, here the natural worry you may have is why you don't overcount, why there is no overcounting in this procedure. But it happens that this method works, and it works, but it's proven to work in a number of examples. Okay. So let's apply this region to this calculation. Okay. So, yeah, scale is, okay. In Feynman diagrams language, it's kind of clear. In this language, you are integrating over phi, some function of phi. If there is no scale in this integral, for example, there is a scale if epsilon one is inside this integral, or some Coulomb parameter A. So yeah, phi, if you wish, phi have dimension one, A is the Coulomb parameter of dimension one, epsilon 1, epsilon 2 have dimension one. If there is no scale in the integrand, then you just set this to zero. Okay. And this of course, if you wouldn't put this step, in some example you see immediately there is some obvious overcounting of contribution to the integral. Okay. So now, again, we apply Meyer expansion to this object, and then apply expansion by region to calculate the actual integral. Okay. So in this case, 1 plus Fij is this short, which, let's write again, phi ij square. Yes? Step one. Yeah, okay, yes. So, of course, if you don't identify the region properly, you will don't have a correct result. And the problem is how to find the regions. Yes. In our case, it's somewhat simple because we are actually interested only in the leading term. And it's actually the leading term in 1 over epsilon 2. But you might claim that this method might give you an asymptotic expansion in epsilon 2. But there you should really be careful about the regions. But for the leading term in this case, it's relatively easy to see that you are not missing anything. But I agree. So in principle, in Feynman integral is a non-trivial problem to identify the regions. Okay. So let's now identify the region now. So Fij, just do zero small. If I didn't do it wrong, just find this result. So what do you find here? Well, that this function, so Fij is order epsilon 2 square, unless phi ij is of order epsilon 2. Okay. So this, it's kind of natural to identify the regions with grouping of particles. So regions are labeled by groupings of particles. What do we mean? We mean that we say phi ij is of order epsilon 2 if the particles ij in the same group. And order 1 otherwise. Okay. So regions are labeled as follows. You divide a particle into groups. And the domain of integration associated to a group is that the phi ij are all distance from each other of order epsilon 2. If the two particles are in the same group, and distance order one if they are in different groups. Does it make sense? Yes. Okay. So in the example of Z short, actually, Because of this observation, phi ij is order epsilon 2 square if the particle are in different groups, but is of order, sorry, but is of order 1 if ij in the same group. Now it becomes clear that that for that specific integral, the leading contribution in epsilon 2 comes from the configuration in which all the particles are in the same group. Okay, just because if they were in different group, then this function would contribute an order epsilon 2 square. Okay. Okay, I think I have to erase. So now, so let me see if you agree with the expression I'm going to write. So because, so if all the particles are in the same group, is in natural to introduce the center of the group, so the average of, so phi zero just as the average of the position of the particles. So the function q appearing there, q of I, will take this form, where this guy is of order epsilon 2. Yes, because the particles are order epsilon 2 distance from the center of the group. So at leading order, the product over q just becomes power of k, yes, because we can neglect the difference of the position between the particle in the same group is leading next order. Okay, so and here what enters here is the effect of the interaction between the particle in the group, which just looking at the definition of Z short as the following form. I'm almost. Okay, now what we gain here? Well, we gain that this integral depends only on a number, okay. So this integral is just a function of a number and was essentially calculated in a paper by Moore and Nekrasov-Shatashvili, essentially because there is some small modification, but the result is simple and nice and is the following. And is an exact calculation. So you, what do you see? You see that you have reconstructed the dilogarithm LH2. Yes. So this reconstructs this result here. So this is somewhat crucial result, but the meaning of it is relatively simple. Is clear. Is coming from affecting interaction for particles which are k particles which are of order epsilon 2 distant from each other. Okay, now I think we learned two lessons. So one was that for Z long, epsilon 2 to 0 singles out three levels diagram. And for Z short, we learned that particle of distance epsilon 2 produce effective vertices governed by this number. Okay, now we want to combine the two observation and finally get an handle on the full instant partition function. And to do so, we use something called iterated Meyer expansion, which was introduced by Mack and Gopfert in 81. Actually, so Mack is the same Mack as the conformal field theory, I mean, for dimensional conformal field theory Mack, and is in Hamburg, actually, still active. And but the idea is very simple. So you have a partition function, once again, of this type we discuss. So is it some k-folded integral, some measure maybe, and then some interaction. But the interaction, as in the case we are discussing, is split into two parts, a short range part and a long range part. Okay. Now, purely combinatorically, as a formal power series in Q, you can write, reorganize the the free energy, say, in a kind of a neat way, which will reproduce a simple result in the end, which is, well, so k is kind of the number of original particles. But what do? We take the particles, the k particles, and we group them into group them into groups. So let's call them x1, x2, xl. Okay, so the union of xi is all the particles, 1k, and l, we will sum over l, then, of course. They are all non-vanishing sets, x1, xl. Okay, and then we do the same integral, and we have a factor corresponding to these groups. Okay, but this factor has a kind of a neat form, which is there is a contribution from each group, certain factor for each group, and then there is certain interaction but the interaction is organized as follows. So you consider graphs on the set of groups. Okay, so now you consider group of particles as new particles. So you sum over connected graph. On the set 1L, so the set of groups. And you take the product over edges in this graph of this factor, which is defined as product of particle I in the group XA, particle J in the group XP. One plus F long XA XB. It's B minus B long phi I minus. Okay. Since I'm defining things, that will also set what is HX. Okay, I think I don't need. Okay, since I'm. So good. Why is this formula useful? Well, we are going to calculate this integral using the method of regions. What happens is that is relatively easy to see that the dominant contribution in epsilon 2 to this integral comes from the region that corresponds to the grouping x1, xl. Okay? In that region, this part, we can perform explicitly the integration over distances between particles in the same group. and left the integration between distances of particles in the parent group undone. Okay. And we arrive. Ah, there is more. No. Okay, and we arrive at the following. Now sum over number of groups, and we sum over the number of particles within each group. But we have only a L-folded integral where these are presented different between particles in different groups. So we sum over three graphs on the set of groups. Edges in the graph. Propagate. Okay, it's clear that this expression has a. You can interpret the picture in this sum kind of diagrams where this is the propagator and these are the vertices, the weight of the vertices. But what is remarkable and obvious or not is that this function W can be thought as the solution to the following PDA. So this is the solution to the following PDA. So W is equal to X is, but of course, what is phi? Well, phi is defined by solving this equation. Okay. Since I'm almost done with time, okay, I have a last question. Is which path, I understand that, of course, I couldn't go into all the details of the derivation, but which path is most mysterious? Probably, yeah. Of course, it's not obvious at all that, well, if you do, of course, on a computer or whatever, term by term, you will easily see that by plugging for phi, a perturbative expansion in Q, as a form of summing over Q, A to the A5K, you will easily see that iterating this machinery here, you will get this as a solution. By opening here. There is some, well, yeah, let me just spend 5 more minutes giving a very concise path integral type of derivation of the fact, this fact that W is characterized as the solution of this problem.
To get something of the game, you need some analytic information on phi of x, or does the PDA fix it?
So in principle, okay, there should be the, so here everything is a form, Q is not a complex number, it's just a formal parameter. Mm-hmm. And what might be needed to be fixed is the contour. Okay. I mean, the main problem is the contour. Here, is really, as discussed before, is the real integration by G as is still here. And you are taking, so if you do real integration, epsilon, you give a I0 path to epsilon. to the kernel roughly. Mm-hmm. But the statement is that you find a unique solution. There is a unique solution to this. Mm-hmm. Of course, I mean, you start from
the framework. But the large X behavior of phi is determined by Q? Or what? How do you know the asymptotics of phi?
So you are saying, for example, if you wish to calculate integrals.
There's normally in TBA, I'm used to seeing it in a slightly different way, where there's like a source term that dominates the asymptotic.
Q.
But it's just this big Q that you factor out here, right?
But I think that there are theorems that says that, so for this specific TBA, that whatever, roughly, whatever phi you plug in, iterating,
It's fine if it's not there.
So I'm not an expert on the solution problem of these equations, but as far as I understand, it's completely systematic. But it's related to the specific form of this
theory. So besides going to satisfy some difference equation, some difference equation, I said.
Fine.
Yeah. Phi of x. Well, more
okay.
The phi.
Yeah, that's exactly roughly. So there is an orthogonal way to reach this result, starting from some difference equation.
Do you have any interpretation of shrinkage theory? Do you have any interpretation of shrinkage theory for it? Actually, before you to the phi, or better?
Yeah.
So to the phi appears here as an auxiliary.
Yes, actually, it's a legitimate. Yes, so I think it's. The answer is yes. This should be roughly this. But this is a simple example. So there is, I said, it's based on SL2 algebra. Besides, where there is a quiver with one node. But it is some. So what in Negative Stability there is a good best of Negative Stability and Negative Stability best of YI.
So it's a resultant?
Yes. I'm most motivated by TBA. And it's very simple. And if you have, again, some appendix of polygons from 40 years ago, and is that bad? You can just write this as follows. As well, because now we can put it off this factor to the left, we do the summation over k, and obtain it. Kind of a clean result. And it's also true that in general you can write such a set of expression in terms of a particular way. The one is particularly good because you kind of easily see the semi-classics, the classical behavior. Now, in our case, the, I think we learned that this is not quite what we want to do, in the sense that we may apply this logic only to the long range part, while keeping the short range part in the integral. So, just applying this logic, we will find the following. But what we see now is that this trick, well, that we already calculated this integral here. The domain actually is still written here. The only difference is that Q of phi is replaced by Q of phi times the minus phi. Okay? So this integral is essentially what we have. So x of 1 over epsilon 2, an integral by 0. Like 2 of q, q equals 5. And now, applying this other formula, you immediately obtain that such expression and the extremization of phi is the TBA. So this concludes the main body of the talk. I just comment on the quiver gauge theories.
So just make sure you have explained that the whole partition function with epsilon 1 and epsilon 2 inside.
Yes.
This is yes. Can be written as an integral or path integral.
Exactly, yes. Yes.
Where the web function and the function.
So where can be, maybe a reference specifically. I think it's already made. So just use this expression, this equal to this, f of phi is hiding here, or f of phi is just this integral that you are not able to calculate explicitly, but it's a simplified version of the full macrospace, because this is much simpler. Mm-hmm. So even if you would do this by residue, you will have just, if you wish, you just have a below which I call it, one direction, so I'm not really Young tableau for us, so for this by Young tableau where only one direction survives, they are just straight. So, SU2 Young tableau. Yes, so I think I will not comment on the quiver gauge theory because time is running low. If somebody is interested, I can put to say, but as long as the gauge group factor are SUN and matter, we take. By fundamental and anti-fundamental, but as long as the bifundamental masses are large compared to epsilon 2, roughly the reasoning goes through without extra part. So let me just conclude. Yeah. And so summary is very simple. I just use a number of techniques to study the next partition function in the epsilon to 0 and show that it satisfies certain TBAs. Summary is simple. I think this LA2 function, the way it emerges is a very important part of this derivation. It's easily missed if you are naive in the step. It's there, it's important. And there is one direction which is kind of natural, which is generalized to other gauge groups, which is not obvious because of the structure of the interaction, but there is a kind of, which is directly linked to the root system of the dual to the gauge group. And the other similar direction is 5D generalization, where there is a similar expression for this partition function. Roughly S1 integration of the axis and some other rational functions, some function there, but maybe what I find one of the most interesting direction is what you have learned here for integrable models. I want to stress that in a sense integrable models just quantum mechanics, where the space of state is infinite dimensional, or at least when there are representation with neither highest weight nor lowest weight, have been studied very little. What I mean by no highest weight nor lowest weight, just keep in mind the prototype of torrent here. And it's just L2, R, N, function of, I mean, the hyperspace is L2, R. Similarly, I mean, for example, for super QCD, you would find some XXX type of spin shape where literally the representation of SL2 of SL2 with neither highest weight nor lowest weight type of spin. And an interesting direction is to derive such, or at least understand the origin of such TBAs from more standard techniques in the integral domain of size, like separation of variables, Baxter equation, and there are ways to, from Baxter equation to that. So this program was achieved by Jörg Teschner and Karol Kozlowski for the total chain. And the main reason I would say is that a lot of, in the literature, there was a lot of knowledge already about this case. But yeah, I think that one of the most interesting direction is to understand the origin of this distance from integrable models, and I still think this may enrich our knowledge of quantum groups in general. And finally, of course, there is maybe one of the reasons why I'm here is that there is a very similar story to this, which is related to the calculation of whistle loops at strong coupling in N-word form. And the sketch of the similarities is that there is, for example, as far as I understand, for the hexagons, for the hexagonal whistle loop, there is a representation which looks very similar to that one up there, where the building blocks are called pentagon transition, and these phi are interpreted as the beta roots of some particles propagating in certain setup. And the analogy there is that you interpret epsilon 2. So there is a parameter there, which is the coupling of gauge theory, with coupling. And if you do this identification, studying the strong coupling limit of the amount of the object, it's very similar, is the same roughly as studying the mechanical limit of this function. And in particular, we recover from a representation of as contour integral type. You recover the TBA equation that you, of course, naturally expect. I mean, it's not expect, you derive from classical strings. So in a sense, that's kind of a check of a ESCFT, or at least that you are an object that reproduces strong wave coupling. Okay, yeah. That's it.
Questions?
Have you looked at the modifications of the regular rotation function, like in the presence of surface difference, for example?
Yes. Yeah, so actually, I don't know. I know the paper, but it might tell me more. At least at the classical level, so there is no epsilon 2. You can. There is some interpretation of the classical integral models appearing here, connected to the coupling of the Fourier theory to the national theory. Yeah, so you know,
there's something about giving the wave function of the quantum integral model, something like that.
Yes,
yeah,
so. There is this statement
that
I don't. Which relates directly Baxter equation to world identities in the gauge theory. But yes, I don't know this part of the story. But yeah, so. Yeah, there are generalizations of these Z objects here that are important, that are directly connected with with object that you introduce in the language of working groups. So just to mention a little thing, so in the last paper of Mechanical of Person Compatibility, they also study the very same problem, of course, that they announced themselves to zero limit of this object. But the setup is slightly different, so they really consider the 5D theory. And there is a structural difference with the absolute to zero limit. So here you see almost obviously that for fixed Q, in the absolute to zero limit, the contribution to the K instant of that start with epsilon 1 over epsilon 2 to the K. Okay? So it's a Laurent series with leading order 1 over epsilon 2 to the K. But in the five dimension, each term to the summand that is ZK, each term has is an essential singularity. Yeah, so I don't know how. Okay, yeah, I want just to mention quickly other way to study this function. And the way they study is first, you stay in 5D, each individual, like you can say, lambda. So you write Z as certain sum of tableau over n tuple of n diagram of the matter. But each individual term in the absolute too small has this form. And the problem here is to understand which lambda dominates this sum and why you can approximate this sum by third coming from single lambda. And there you derive some beta equation of the XXZ type, but with infinitely many rules, which prescribes some properties. So that thing should be direct. So there should be a direct way to derive that VA from that beta equation. But this is a kind of funny situation where beta equation gives you a unique solution. So you expect to have one solution to beta equation. But that beta equation are just an auxiliary problem to find W. Once you have W, quantization condition, using that W, which quantize your A parameters.
So the cuts in the 4D become sequences of beta rules.
Which cuts?
If I just write an integral, I put the build the kernel. Phi is cuts.
Yes.
So what are the asymptotic? What is the asymptotic behavior of 5? And x goes to plus or minus infinity. I mean, is 5 supposed to be finite? When you iterate it, let's go to constant. Mm-hmm. Perhaps I can ask you that.
Yeah, okay. But, yes. Well, so the reason why I'm not addressing this question is that if you think about this as a formal series in Q,
mm-hmm.
just like in the machinery, you will readily obtain the first line in the back of the kernel. There, phi has disappeared. It's an auxiliary object.
Sure.
If
I want to interpret it as a TBA.
So if you want to take Q to be a 0.1,
yes.
Then, of course, you have to address this question.
Mm-hmm.
I never studied numerical TBA, so I can't answer. But, of course, it's a legit model.